I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, my very good friends. I'm Andy Murray. This is Michael Hamflett. It's the news. This is the news, all of that stuff. But it's a bit of a different format today because there really is no point in talking about anything else apart from CM Punk. That footage that aired on last night's episode of Dynamite, the reactions, the ramifications, the motivations, the other Asians, whatever Asian you can add to all of this. We're going to go through all of it, hopefully in as nice a way as possible. And then at the end, we've got some Twitter questions that aren't all about CM Punk. So if you want to hear about a different topic,
you know
where to go. But yes, so this was obviously the big thing. The marketing focus of last night's AEW Dynamite was all about the infamous backstage footage of the Jack Perry CM Punk confrontation at All In 2023 that led, of course, to CM Punk being dismissed by AEW with cause. He was fired. A disciplinary committee decreed that what happened in that confrontation was enough for him to be let go from the company. It's been one of the wrestling topics of the past year. It will continue to be for ages and ages. Mm-hmm. And then we all saw the footage last night, or at least the clip that they chose to air, the segment that they chose to air. I'll just do a quick play-by-play.
Yeah.
I'll get some initial thoughts, and then we'll deep dive into this a little bit more. So the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, they queued it up. They were talking to the camera. They were using this as a means of promoting their upcoming match with FTR at the Dynasty, however you say that word, pay-per-view. They said that All In was the biggest show in company history, which is correct. And they kind of framed their match with FTR on their show as the biggest of their career, the most important, best tag team in the world would be determined there. All of that stuff. They were kind of using it. They spoke about how it was like a distraction, like it rattled them a little bit before the match. Nicholas Jackson, in what a very clear shot at the recent Ariel Helwani podcast appearance from CL Punk, was wondering if FDR had masterminded it. And Matthew, this was the shot, or was it the other way around? Have I got the names the wrong way around? One of them accused them of masterminding it.
Yeah, no, it was Nicholas that accused masterminding. Matthew was the one saying, like,
oh, well, you can't do this. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't, come on, we have to stop this and cut the shot and then go again.
It's unprofessional to make these accusations on the podcast, which is obviously a dig at the MMA hour. Interview. They said they didn't have the time to prepare to their match. It put the locker room in disarray. The scrap between CM Punk and Jack Perry and the FTR's win should have an asterisk against it. And then they rolled the footage. It's about a minute in total. It's a bit grainy, of course. It's a security camera. But it is quite clear what happened. Mm-hmm. There's no sound, none of that. And it's shot from this one perspective. It shows Jack Perry standing backstage, gorilla position, presumably.
Yeah.
There's loads of people around. There's a row of monitors over on one side. There's a bunch of people going around. You can see CM Punk approaching Jack Perry. They say a few words to one another. They talk a bit. Obviously, you have no idea what they say to one another. Punk, in his MMA hour, insinuated that he was like, why are you doing this internet BS?
Yeah.
And the Jack showed him some attitude back, but we can't hear that, so we can't corroborate what Punk said in the interview with regards to that part. At least Punk initiates the physicality. He shoves him. He appears to put him into a guillotine, which he said, I just choked him a little bit.
He did,
on the interview, blah, 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 blah. And then you see Samoa Joe and Hook, I believe, step in to kind of separate them. Punk at this point, like some monitors got knocked over. Punk appears to lean over those monitors and yell at someone, or at least, you know, his body language is not positive. Might be Tony Khan.
There's three monitors and an arm reaches over. Yeah. That's their version of the gorilla position role. Yes. Very familiar with in WWE. If it's not Tony Khan, it's one of the two, three people that sit in that position.
Exactly.
And Tony Khan is there as one of them.
Yeah.
So if it's not him, it's the person right next to him, you know, and it leads into what we then learned about Punk and Tony Khan afterwards.
Exactly.
And, that,
so. And Punk has previously claimed that he tried to quit in that moment, of course. So, if he's a reliable narrator or not, some of that was proven in this. Some of it, it's still a bit difficult to tell. You see Jerry Lynn, he helps usher Punk away. Malachi Black just strolls into the scene as well. Chris Hero looks absolutely despondent.
It's already like, it's, you know, it's already one of these things where everything becomes a meme.
Yeah.
Like Chris Hero's just like, oh my, get a surrender cobra in immediately.
Yeah, like hell? You know, that was technically his on-screen debut.
Yeah.
I love Chris Hero. I'm so sorry, Chris.
Who doesn't?
But yeah, like, before they move into the next segment as well, speaking of reactions, Tony Schiavone looks like he wants the world to open up.
Yeah.
He's previously said that he doesn't give an F about any of this. He just wants to move on from it. And so I can imagine, and this is me speculating, that AEW's inability to move on from this maybe got on him a little bit. I don't want to, you know, put faults in his head or whatever. FTR then cut a promo on it, and they did use it to generate heat from their match. Okay, so before we dive into, like, some specifics, look, we're CM Punk fans, both of us.
Yeah.
We don't hide that at all. But he clearly instigated the physical contact in this situation. And we've always said here that although we enjoy the man's fiction, if he started the physical contact in front of his boss, he's in the wrong.
You can't fight at work.
Yeah.
I know wrestling stuff happens and we hear about locker rooms.
In front of your boss as well.
You kind of do it.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
How do you feel about all of this?
Well, I'm doing the ups and downs for AEW Dynamite for whatculture.com/WWE, which you can check out later on today. And this falls into both. Because of course it does, right? Like, because let's try and, you know, like, you're the best for this. I'm substantially weaker normally. Let's apply a bit of nuance to this if we can.
I'm not the best at
anything. Like, there are obvious ups and downs to this whole situation. I want to start with Tony Schiavone if I may, because he used an F word there. I want to use another one. Format. It made my stomach twist when, as FTR walked to the ring, he had to say, this is what we had in the format.
Oh, God,
we all thought the same thing, right? A depressed Tony Schiavone saying it's not on the format. We all went to WCW's dying days. It was impossible not to. Tony Schiavone and Taz, while poor Excalibur was teeing this segment up, didn't want to look at us, the viewer.
Yeah.
Didn't want to look at us at the monitor. And for the first time, looked to me, speculatively, as if they did not want to be present for this.
Yeah.
Any of this. And that was this, like, terse reminder that ultimately what you're watching here isn't really about AEW as a promotion. And despite their best efforts, I don't even think it's really about the Young Bucks and FTR. Again, despite the efforts of the wrestlers to fold this into the fiction and the promotion for Dynasty and whatnot. This is about a very personal and at times petty war of words and war of what really happened between CM Punk and Tony Khan. And it's a billionaire's playground pro wrestling, so he can use that. What did both Will Ospreay later on in this show and CM Punk and Ariel Helwani say? Very expensive television time to do this, right?
Yes.
I want to go back to Will Ospreay in a second. Apologies for scattered thoughts. But, like, it was impossible to disconnect from the facts of this and buy into the fiction, despite the best and impressive efforts of the Young Bucks and FTR. You couldn't. You know, as a sort of informed wrestling fan, as we all like to pretend to be, and you are if you're watching this video, it was impossible to disconnect from the reality and buy into the Young Bucks are mad at FTR. No, nonsense. You could try, but it wasn't going to happen. You were too invested in the shoot to care about the work. And ultimately, Tony Khan, as a wrestling fan, always, like, probably knew that. But it was more important, presumably, to him, for the company to get this video out, to offer some sort of rebuttal. I have sympathy for him in that respect. I think AEW is in something of a lose-lose situation. This might all be bubble stuff, but after CM Punk's Ariel Helwani interview, if AEW were to ignore that, it would allow the courage of CM Punk convictions to simply be the truth of the matter.
Sure.
When they themselves had this video to say, not quite.
Not so much, pal.
You told a version of the story, but we see it a little bit differently. So I understand that. And the AEW side of that sort of conversation, if they address it, which they have done, you're left with a situation where it does come across as a petty bit of television.
Yeah.
So I just don't think they're in a position where they could really win, and ultimately Tony Khan's elected to sort of plough through with this. Interestingly, Will Ospreay, on the very same broadcast, mere minutes later, in fact, mm-hmm. comes out and gives Triple H a bit of what for some comments he perceives to not like. That was a reminder that the wrestlers are always punching up when yes. they're going for the bosses, when they're going for the billionaires. These are the workers, the bumpers, the people that put their lives on the line and the people that have got to earn while the going's good.
People who are held to these ridiculous, stacked against them, independent contractor terms when they're expected to behave like employees.
All the time, right? So when Ospreay does that to Triple H, you are reminded of the balance of power, having just watched it go the other yeah. way with Tony Khan, using all of his power and influence to do that to CM Punk. And it was just, for me, that like, oh, if you're going to have it one way around and try and be the baby face, it's got to be the Ospreay way, yeah. not the Punk yeah. way. And I just thought, as a result of that, and the whole way it played out, AEW couldn't win, but didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
I think, I know that's all over the shop, but yeah.
I completely agree. My defining feeling watching this, and please let me know if you disagree in yeah. the comment section. If you
and
are,
people
in,
will, people
yeah,
will.
Oh yeah, this is going to be
opinions.
This is going to be a feisty one. But my overwhelming thought coming out of this was that this video and everything else changed nobody's mind.
Yeah.
If you're a person who's had their mind changed, please let us know. But like, I feel like the people who thought that what CM Punk did was right and justified and that he was just sticking up for himself and all of that. And a lot of those people who agree with Punk will be on the AEW's dying death knell kind of brigade. I think that those people will feel emboldened. And also, I feel that the people who think that no, CM Punk was completely in the wrong, Tony is justified in airing this, all of that stuff, like more defensive of the company side, I think that they will feel emboldened
yeah.
as well. So to that end, what have you really accomplished? If you were a cynic of AEW and their handling of the Punk situation and what Punk did, and you tuned into this, you probably left going, hell yeah, CM Punk.
Yeah.
You're not coming back to watch the show next week if you don't already. I don't think. We'll see what the rating does earlier and what it does next week. Because, you know, it might pop a nice little number this week, but if that doesn't carry over next week, you haven't done anything productive here, really. So for me, the whole situation is, it does require a sense of nuance for sure. Like, obviously, you can't assault people at work.
No.
Right? You can't shove people, put them in a guillotine. And yeah, it's a pretty mild fracas, right? They're not brawling. They're not taking chunks out of each other or whatever. But at the end of the day, he did that in front of his bloody boss. Mm-hmm. And look, I am a huge CM Punk fan. If you tune into the videos every day, you know that. But we also acknowledge on this channel, because we try to explore the full range of everything, that this man is a deeply flawed individual.
Yeah.
And I believe in this situation, obviously we don't know exactly what was said between these two men, that he was in the wrong. Now, there's a lot to consider even going beyond that. We'll just go through some of the considerations. Let's go through some of the reactions first. Why not? Punk himself has been on his Instagram stories. He's posted a picture of George W. Bush with the caption, mission accomplished.
Oh, yeah, above. The infamous shot of him on the Intrepid.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So he's trying to frame this as, hey, I got to you, and you
there
did
this. There
were
same punk chants in the building.
There were.
When the Young Bucks came out later on.
Which there were.
Can't have been what they want, you know, like, and this is the other thing, sorry to cut in by the
way. No.
But to try and weave this into the fiction, which AEW did here, right? If you really think about this, the Young Bucks as the heel authority figures embracing Jack Perry means that they're bringing him back as a heel,
yeah.
which means that makes Punk the babyface.
Yeah.
And such why he got the chance he got. And again, just to sort of try and sort of rationalize this, because I understand that pro wrestling for years and years and years has like tried to use reality and weave it into the fiction. There are multiple ways to skin this cat. What you want is wrestling to be fake and feel real, not sort of have reality and then try and make it fake.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Bucks right now, I would say CM Punk and Drew McIntyre is the best example of that in all of wrestling.
Yeah, for
that
sure.
That is fiction being made to feel as real as it gets. When those two are on screen, I'm scared for the fight. But you know they're working together,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
This is the opposite and generating that kind of opposite emotional response.
Yeah, 100%. And there's been some reactions from some WWE people. Actually, to speak to the arena chants, there's footage of it doing the rounds of the arena's reaction to the footage being aired. Mm. And there's a lot of CM Punk chants in there. Yeah. There's a lot of boos as well. Like, look, it's a combustible, divisive situation where two sides are bouncing off each other like this.
We were there at Wembley. That was happening when Punk was still working for the company.
Yeah.
He was like a modern John Cena in terms of that mixed reaction, wasn't it?
You know, he was. Like, he really was, particularly after Brawl Out and all of that stuff. But yeah, Cedric Alexander posted a reaction, Sean Spears as well. Ariel Helwani, this features into another point here, said, not very nice. Some lawyer out of Jacksonville got my account locked momentarily and DMCA'd the video I posted. So he got struck, basically, which contained CCTV footage and interview footage from my show. So they've been going around and they've been striking. They've actually removed the security footage from their own YouTube upload.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really jarring. If you go and look at that YouTube clip right now, it's just the Young Bucks talking and then the FTR segment. So there you go. They didn't say CM Punk's name at all throughout of this.
Yeah.
There's probably legal reasons for that, right? But this whole thing is just, it's a deeply complicated mess. I think that people will draw a lot of assumptions about TK. TK, like he's my name. Tony, he's a billionaire. He's not his name. Should he have felt threatened for his life in this situation, all of this? Well, look, we saw him leaning over the table and stuff. And
more might have occurred off this camera.
100%.
One moment from a difficult day, wasn't it?
You know, yeah, exactly. So that's Tony's prerogative. Mm-hmm. Look, whether you like CM Punk or not, he has no point fighting people.
Yep.
No problem fighting people. And also, he's trained at that. Yes, he was crap in the UFC, but that's against trained professional fighters or whatever. The average guy like Tony Khan, he's not a large man. I don't think he's trained or anything. If I had an angry, trained person shouting at me, I'd probably feel a bit scared myself, mm-hmm. Having watched all of this kind of unfold in front of you in such a way. My overwhelming feeling is that this does nothing for Jack Perry and his return. It does nothing for the Bucks versus FTR, as we've discussed. I don't think it does anything positive for AEW.
Hmm.
And on top of all of this, what was trending number one after all this? CM Punk.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This thing is all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's dominating Reddit, which is a good aggregator of what's going on in wrestling. It's all over Twitter, all over the news sites, all over YouTube like us. I don't really think anyone wins coming out of this, right? Because Punk has just been proven that he started this. But then at the same time, I don't really think keeping his employment was a key factor in this guy's mind.
Not
when
by
he
then.
Did no. All of this, right? So, man, I did say before this that I don't think this is going to help AEW in any way whatsoever. And I still stand by that.
Obviously, we're recording this early on Thursday morning after it airs Wednesday night. Everyone's going to be interested to see the number. It's not often now that ratings conversation is very interesting post Wednesday Night Wars, but this one's a one that everybody's going to be looking at. The quarter hour breakdown, it's going to be interesting to see the spike and then the drop off or whatever. But what I will say from an AEW point of view is that if they have been able to generate interest around this, it is so key that in the aftermath you maintain that interest by just putting your best foot forward again, because last night didn't feel best foot forward. It wasn't subjectively a great Dynamite wrapped around this huge explosive talking point. And what they could have really done with, beyond the CM Punk thing and beyond quite a strong Will Ospreay promo, was a show that reflects what their 2024 has been about. You know, like, if this was the defining story of 2023, the defining story of 2024 is that AEW have very quietly turned the ship around, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, the ratings are not reflecting it necessarily, but the pay-per-view buys are solid, the buildings are starting gradually to fill back up again. The monthly or nearly monthly pay-per-view cycle hasn't dampened the quality of the in-ring. Mm-hmm. AEW, this new Where We Wrestle. Sorry, is that, I've got that wrong.
We're the best wrestle.
We're the best wrestle. They're leaning into that, as they should, because WWE being their best self in that direction should force AEW to be their best self in that direction.
Exactly.
This is where these hands are, is where wrestling should be if you're going to have a market leader and a challenger brand,
right?
Yeah,
they should be different.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
And where I feel sorry for somebody who isn't really directly related to any of this, but tried to be last week to be a locker room leader, I feel sorry for Adam Copeland. Because last week he was maybe not sent out there, maybe he asked to go out there, but he went out there at the start of the Dynamite in the immediate aftermath of Punk's comments and basically presented AEW as a pro-wrestling utopia, as a place that wrestling is better for its existence. He listed a bunch of people he wanted to face. He wanted to put over the Elite, inclusive of Cody Rhodes, just to say that why AEW was where he wanted to finish up his career. It was different. It was wrestling's future rather than being buried in wrestling's past. And then 7 days later, he's kind of made a hypocrite by all of this.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of feel sorry for him and other people that now want to say, come on, guys, the past is the past. Get over it. Let's live in the moment. And this episode was anything but that.
Yeah.
It's relitigating by choice rather than by those weird days where you wake up on Twitter and be like, people are relitigating CM Punk today.
Yeah.
AEW have chosen to do this. And it like remains to be seen how effective that'll be for them. You know, we're just a couple of idiots on the internet, what do we know?
But this is it.
It remains like to be seen, I think, as a long-standing wrestling fan, when you've seen this fail for promotions so many times in the past, you tend to have to learn from history lest you be deemed to repeat it.
Exactly. And I do think that, look, we love the chaos. We're very open about that.
Captivating to watch, by the way. 100%. My heart was beating out of its chest 100%. Watching it.
100%. Like,
you couldn't get closer to it, could you? You know, it was like that on the For You tab. Those Twitter accounts you don't follow, but it's like, check out this dark explosion. It's like, all right, I think I will, actually. Yeah. I didn't choose to follow this, but now it's come to me.
I will watch this landslide down the mountain or whatever. Or this guy poking an alligator in the face. That's quite an appropriate analogy, actually, isn't it?
A man poking a bear. Right there. What's going to happen? Oh, the bear's just savaged his face off.
Yeah. Bear's just killed him.
Swipe down.
Yeah, hit me with it, baby. Through all of this, right, I think that AEW's best... there is a Twitter question about this that we'll talk about. I think AEW now just needs to show its work.
Yeah.
I do think it needs to move beyond this stuff. And look, again, like, I feel like it's important to point this preference out, because comments just get framed as biased and anti-this and pro-that all the time. I prefer AEW's product to WWE's 90% of the time. I don't think I have a favorite wrestling promotion in 2024, but I prefer the week-to-week in AEW. So let's make that very, very clear to start off with. But I also feel, at the moment, like the promotion as a whole is kind of behaving like a gotten-to teenager in the aftermath of this this interview with Ariel Helwani in particular, that has unquestionably, for me, caused us to end up where we are. I also think that they might have just condemned themselves to a future of CM Punk chants whenever the Young Bucks and Jack Perry are on screen. The blight of WWE programming for many, many years. If that happens, it's kind of their own fault. We're going to wrap up the CM Punk stuff. Well, we're not, because there's a Twitter question and it's the first one. But we do have some questions on WrestleMania and stuff like that as well. But I'm sure you've already done it. But if you haven't, please let us know where you stand down below. And just be civil. Like, don't be mean, nasty to each other. It's just wrestling at the end of the day. But for me, ultimately, what AEW should do now is that make Dynasty one of the best pay-per-views in company history and probably just move on from all of this.
Yeah, like I like WWE's week to week in contrast to Murray's take on AEW. So when we finish this video, we're going to go and have a shoot fight in Gorilla and do separate promos on MMA podcasts about what really happened, don't we?
Yeah, that's like, exactly
our versions of the story are going to get out there until the What Culture security footage gets aired on the channel.
I've already got Hell Whining on deck, so you're going to have to go on top
winner buys the other pasta.
Yeah, well, we've done that
I'm
already.
Down, yeah.
But yeah, let us know what you think in the comment section below. It's the big issue of the day. We're not going to cover any other news stories on this video because it would just get swallowed up. Oh yeah, Drew hasn't re-signed yet. There you go. Oh, there's one Fightful Select.
To keep it linked to the phone game.
rest in peace, Aki Bono, as well.
R.I.P. Like, Aki Bono, yeah.
So, Aki Bono is such an interesting figure in pro wrestling. Yep. Obviously, most people remember the WWE stuff, but, like, if you go and watch some of his, like, work in Japan, there's some really good, like, Kento Miyahara, he had a great match with him.
Big guys that can gyu.
Big black.
Like, it's an unbelievable genre of pro wrestler. Aki Bono was absolutely one of them.
Big boys rule, man. Yeah. Rest in peace, Aki Bono. On to our Twitter questions for the day. Bunch of good stuff, most of it about Punk. I've got one CM Punk question, and then we're going to talk about WrestleMania week
all right.
a little bit, because we're both back. We're back, baby.
Does it sound like we've been away?
Yeah, maybe. Does it sound like I've been screaming yeet? And yeah! Non-stop for 7 days? Well, I should. Aaron Whitelaw has been on, saying, with CM Punk reframing the backstage fight and controlling the narrative, was there anything AEW could have done to defend themselves other than by showing the footage?
Well, yeah, I suppose we covered that a little bit. I did feel like they were kind of in a lose-lose situation here regardless. Not least because we don't know. We never do because we're in it. We don't know how in the bubble this was. Was Punk's interview with Helwani in the bubble? Was AEW's promotion of this footage in the bubble? Was the story itself in the bubble? It's so hard. And I say, as two people in it, and Aaron and everybody else probably watching this, we're ensconced in this, right? Like, if you speak to your loved ones or friends about pro wrestling, as I have done sort of about things relating to WrestleMania, to start on a CM Punk story requires all of the all-out context and about cult capacity. You could go about years trying to explain CM Punk, and for the most part, he's just not, I love him, the Punk is my guy, but like he's not that Rock, John Cena, Steve Austin, Hogan figure. Mm-hmm. So you've got to like dig quite deep. So we never really know how much penetrates the bubble and is just our daft wrestling thing more than it is. So were AEW like in the wrong to address it? Possibly. But did they see enough discourse after LY that they might have believed it was the right thing to do? Absolutely. I don't think there was a way. Like even last week when Adam Copeland probably had the best intentions, a lot of people were still negging him for a bit of like, oh, there's a rah-rah speech. Yeah. Like, even that came across as a little bit gotten to, and that was supposed to be taking the positive.
It was supposed to be the opposite, right?
You know, so I don't think AEW could win, but equally, I don't know, you watch Punk to me retelling that. Like, did Helwani say he put a side-by-side of his interview with the footage? And that's
he
what
used the
struck.
Footage, yeah.
Like, I think, right, and again, maybe this is coming from the pro-punk side, but again, as you pointed out, people will just be stronger in their resolve off the back of this. Yeah. Who hasn't told a story about a situation they experienced through their own eyes, only to hear it told by somebody else and be like, oh, I guess maybe it did go that way.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's quite normal human behaviour to think something went this. I know Punk's got a history of, like, he's a cult of personality, it's part of his MO to be that kind of a lightning rod. It's as you say, he's a warts and all performer. I think you love him for his flaws as much as his positives, you know, that's who CM Punk is. But like, he was telling the story of a fight, and I've witnessed the odd fight in real life and then remembered my version of it, and it might have been slightly different to somebody else's.
Yeah.
That's quite human.
Yeah.
Punk didn't say anything so wildly off base that when I saw the footage, I was like, well, that's complete bollocks. Like, obviously he told his version of it, but it wasn't that far off what we saw.
No, exactly. Like, the only things that obviously you can't really pass judgment on are what was said.
You can't hear it.
And
of course, Punk would play down that he was the first one to physically attack, because he probably felt genuinely like he had no other option.
Yeah, and then he escalated it. Yeah. It's like, I think to answer Aaron's question as well.
Yeah, sorry, there was an answer in there, I think.
No, at all. I think that the best retaliation would have just been to do nothing, right? I wouldn't have even attempted to control the narrative or anything like that. I think this was wholly unnecessary. Look, if I'm AEW and I watch the Helwani interview and see the things that Punk has said about Tony in particular and the company and how it's run and all of this stuff, I would sit there and go, yeah, we need to deal with this. We need to try and realign the conversation a little bit. So I understand why they did it, 100%. And I appreciate that it's easy for me as someone who has nothing to do with this situation to comment on what they've done. But I wouldn't have done any of this. I wouldn't have done the Adam Copeland promo. Although I don't criticize Copeland for doing it.
Definitely not.
I wouldn't have done any of that stuff. I can understand things like... I mean, I think you can treat Will Ospreay responding to Triple H as a different thing,
yeah,
right, entirely. That's a different scenario.
It fell on the same week where it feels like one Dynamite is taking loads of shots at like an on-fire Fed when that's not really the case.
For sure,
like,
for sure. And look, the Fed, if it's the Fed taking a shot at someone in AEW, which Triple H was doing to Will Ospreay, I think that's a different matter. But I wouldn't have done any of this Punk stuff. I wouldn't have shown the footage. I wouldn't have used it to build storylines. What I would have done is I would have taken that new tagline, "We're the best wrestle," and I would have lived up to it. I would have sat there and I would have produced the best possible wrestling shows that this company can possibly do, and I would build the Dynamite and I would leave fans salivating in anticipation of that pay-per-view, and then on the night I would do everything I can to make sure that that is one of the greatest pay-per-views in the company.
Well, again, to that point, you would, what last night's Dynamite seemed to do was an effort to try and prove CM Punk wrong. Why not listen to some of his other comments and prove him right? Punk on that Helwani interview was saying, look, Tony Khan's a nice guy, but he's not a businessman. He's not got a business there. If you want to go there and have five-star matches, great, but it's not a business, right? Those comments were kind of left alone because of the fight talk, right? Prove Punk right. Like, if this really is a billionaire's playground, good. It's not our money.
Yeah.
Right, go out there. If Punk, as a wrestler and as a contracted worker, wants to earn money in a business that he feels is thriving, maybe AEW isn't for him. But what did he also say it was? A place where wrestlers want to have fun with their friends and have five-star matches. Do that.
The hell's wrong with that?
Exactly. Exactly. Right? Prove him right for that as a way to sort of get your own kind of optics victory out of it.
Yeah.
As you say, chase that. If CM Punk thinks you're just a company that chases acclaim, good.
Chase
the acclaim and entertain the hell out of all of us with your best foot forward.
Exactly.
That's definitely a way to do it.
Just show your work at the end of all of this. And I do hope that that's what we're heading towards. I fear that now we're going to get the Jack Perry scapegoat character coming in, and it's going to end up being this whole thing where the crux of these characters is this incident and the footage and all of this stuff, and I do worry that they'll be followed around by CM Punk chance wherever they go. I hope that's not the case.
Man's suffered enough, man. He's in House of Torture.
Yeah, I do. Oh my God. What greater punishment?
I was going to say that's it, isn't it? Right?
Maybe
the Rikers Island of pro wrestling.
Yeah, who really got punished? Jack Perry or CM Punk in this situation? But yeah, let's talk a little bit about something different really quick to just wrap this video up today. Matt Ryan has been on asking, what was the most unexpected highlight of WrestleMania weekend for you? We're both in Philly, of course, but what was your unexpected highlight?
One
about peaks and pits after this?
Yeah, it's one from a list of about 400. I'll tell you what I'll go with, because there is a million things, and I feel like over the coverage over the next 12 months, we'll all be sharing our stories and memories as they come up. But one for me is an unexpected one, because it's never a show I've particularly enjoyed to watch from home in the WrestleMania weekend coverage. But I would recommend everybody, if you ever get the chance, to attend a Bloodsport live in person. For a show that, when you're watching at home, feels very repetitive, and it's kind of weird in its design. Like, it's all a work, but let's pretend it's the shootiest version of a work. Live, it kind of works. Like, genuinely, it does.
It's appropriate that CM Punk was in the crowd for that.
Well, indeed, yeah. He was kind of, taking notes in case he ever had to go again and throw a hand. But, obviously the aesthetic as well, set up with the ring posts only being up and the ropes not, and the rule set being established, and that thing that Josh Barnett loves where the wrestlers all come out and stand at the front.
I love Josh Barnett.
On TV, a bit silly and a bit like, and then another bell rings and you've got like Dolph Ziggler doing, Nick Nemeth doing a zigzag in a shoot fight. But, right, in spite of all of that, in person, you kind of buy into it a little bit. The wrestlers look super serious. They want it, you know. The prize, as much as it's just a kayfabe victory like every other match you're going to watch that weekend, does have that air of legitimacy about it. They do well to establish it in the building. Will I watch Bloodsport on a camera again? I still don't know, but it would be one I would recommend anybody get, if they ever get the chance to, when you're in town for WrestleMania, give it a go. Especially because it's, for a lot of people, it was for me this year, the first thing you see. So you're just jazzed up for the physicality. And when somebody's like drilling somebody with hammer blows, oh yeah, the business. If you watch it like after WrestleMania, you won't give a toss. It's like, where's Jey Uso? Well, like, it's the first thing you watch. Like, it's great. Like that feeling, that like first flesh, you know, of a chop, whatever. Good stuff.
Sells out every single year.
Yeah, it does. Good stuff.
There you go. Unexpected highlights for me. I've got two. The Dead Man.
The Dead Man.
First of all, look, I was when those interferences started piling up in the main event, I, like everyone else, expected Steve Austin. And I wanted Steve Austin because I've never been there for an Austin pop in person. So when but I'm not the biggest Undertaker guy in the world. I'm not as critical of him as this guy,
I love him now.
Big card-carrying member of the BSK.
I respect a business. Want to get my bones in
here? Get a crate of beer for the boys. But when the gong sounded, I lost my ass.
Yeah.
I went, and this, you look at him now, and it's just like, he's just an old dude with a do-rag that says, I'll make you famous, boy, or whatever it was. 6 feet under.
Three quarters of shoe.
And yeah... Yeah, he eliminated the final boss with one joke slam.
Sure did.
And it's so silly, but you just get into these things in the building. Another one, like, I don't give a toss about the awesome truth, but when they won the tag titles, I lost my friggin' mind.
Oh, I've been manifesting. It's that Drew McIntyre, is it? Prayed for this and it happened.
It's the infectious energy of live pro wrestling. Yeah. You don't go to these shows and be a stick in the mud. You get into it, you match the crowd. It's R-Truth and The Undertaker for me.
The legends.
The Dead Man interfering in the bit. You know, people say that makes no sense in storyline, but if you really think about it, the bloodline just don't respect this business.
I put Yoko in a casket, I threw Rikishi off the cage, I got history with the bloodline.
Yeah, these Samoans. All right.
Didn't care much for the head shrinkers either. Except when we was playing ball.
Oh, don't get me started on the Samoan SWAT team.
Speaking of the BSK, that reminds me of another one. I saw Savio Vega as part of Los Barriqua at Mark Hitchcock Memorial Show. They were fighting the FBI, and the FBI had a mystery partner, and the mystery partner was Deonna Purrazzo. It was class, man. It was
fantastic.
Really good.
Our final question comes from Crispy's Crafts, who would like to know. Morning, gents. We do this around the dinner table, but what's your pit and your peak of Mania weekend? Also, really looking forward to watching the live show. Yeah, that'll be up soon. Oh, my peak was our live show, and Cody Rhodes winning the belt, and also seeing The Rock. He was hilarious on Raw.
Was great.
Like, the shut the F up on Raw. Like, what a pop.
Oh, yeah.
Shut the F up now. You bunch of trash. Incredible. Pitt, Jimmy versus Jay, Beyond Jay's intro entrance was really whack.
Yeah.
Dalton Castle versus Johnny TV was horrendous. Ring of Honor show. But yeah, what you got?
I would have to go. I don't know if I do go with the Usos matches, because I've tried to explain this before. Like, as long as AEW is firing, I can tolerate my WWE matches not living up to a certain standard. If the characters are as over as they are, and Jey Uso's, like, I can't think of a better example in all of wrestling of what WWE is amazing at versus what they care less about. And the spear on night two almost made up for it. That spear off the stage spear was better than the entirety of their match.
Like, I broadly agree, but I think there needs to be a baseline.
It was terrible.
Right? Like, if it's just a bit meh or kind of bad, I thought this was whack.
It was
actively
terrible.
Whack.
I don't know if this is a... Like, night one, I still don't think was a particularly good show. I had an amazing time. It's WrestleMania. Like, the spectacle is what it is for a reason, and you get drawn into the magic of it all. And, like, I'm a sucker for Fed production anyway, so this is the best. Yeah. WrestleMania is the best exhibition of what they do.
Biggest and the baddest.
Yes, this is it. But, like, I think night one was a particularly amazing card. And, like, not for the first time, we experienced how difficult it is sometimes getting out of a ginormous stadium. And when it was, like, really tough getting out of there at the end of the big show, I didn't initially feel particularly like I'd watched a WrestleMania that will age all that well. Like, the highs were enormous. Last couple of minutes of the Gunther Sami Zayn match, last couple of minutes of the main event. But I'm looking back. I saw 58 wrestling matches last week, and none of them from night one would make my top five. So I just... Yeah, WrestleMania Night 1 probably wasn't it for me, but Night 2 was almost as good as a show that WWE can put on.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Video done. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.